the Russian Revolution changed the world forever. Almost overnight, an entire society was destroyed and replaced with one of the most radical social experiments ever seen. Poverty, crime, privilege and class division were to be eliminated. A new era of socialism promised peace, prosperity and equality for all the peoples of the world. This is the story of the Russian Revolution.
$65 million go to war, right? 10 million die, 10 million become orphans, 20 million become maimed, crippled, or wounded. You had catastrophe in Europe. You had a Holocaust in Europe. You had a desire for change. Who can stop them when there was such a revolutionary sentiment? Huh? Who could stop them?
In February 1917, St. Petersburg was known as Petrograd. The First World War was in its third winter, and the long-suffering people of the city were hungry. Stocks of bread were about to be rationed. The shortages meant many were queuing all night long, sometimes for just part of a loaf, and they were fed up with it. On the 23rd of February, women in the factories came out onto the streets to protest at the lack of bread. When rumors spread that the bread was being deliberately hoarded and held back from them, their mood darkened.
They threw some snowballs at the men's factories to get them out, and when the men came out on the street, it became clear that there was a very significant strike in the capital.
As the men from the factories joined the women, the cries changed from demands for bread to the removal of Russia's emperor, the Tsar. By the end of the afternoon, 100,000 workers were now on strike. Socialist agitators reacted to the demonstrations, and after factory meetings the next morning, workers again marched to the city, armed with spanners and hammers, ready for a fight. Over the next 2 days, the protests grew louder, larger, and increasingly difficult to control. They could no longer be tolerated.
The response of the authorities was to sweep the demonstrators off the street, and they brought in soldiers to do that. And there was some considerable violence on the 25th of February.
Although many men, women, and children had already been hacked down or shot by the police, demonstrators still crowded the streets. One demonstration was brought to a standstill by a squadron of Cossacks who had been brought in to support the police.
I think the easiest way to grasp it is to think that Russia's been kind of a bottle of fizzy water that's been shaken and shaken and shaken for years. And suddenly in February the top comes off.
The Cossacks were one of the most brutal fighting units in Russia. They had shown no fear of ruthlessly crushing demonstrations in the past and were traditionally loyal to the Tsar. Now followed one of many moments over the next few days that would change the course of history. From this moment, the people called these men Comrade Cossacks, seeing them as merely workers and peasants in uniform. But one of the most fearsome units of the army had proved unreliable. The city authorities would now have to turn for help to Russia's very highest authority. They called on the Tsar to intervene. The Tsar was the supreme ruler of the Russian Empire, but he was away at the front, overseeing his campaign in the war against Germany. But the war was going badly for Russia, and he had little time for what he saw as a protest or two back in Petrograd. He received telegrams pleading with him to take immediate steps about the situation in the capital. At first, he seemed annoyed by the interruption, but by the evening, he could resist the telegrams no longer. He responded in the only way he knew.
His instinct always was, bring out the machine guns.
The confrontation with the people had escalated to a new level. The slogans on the banners now read, freedom or death. By the fourth day of demonstrations, the center of Petrograd had become a battlefield as fresh army units were brought face to face with the protesters. Now, under the direct orders of the Tsar, they were to shoot the demonstrators if they did not disperse. People lay dead, but the Tsar had failed to end the protests. Despite the killings, the demonstrations continued. Back at the barracks, the soldiers were becoming increasingly angry at what had happened, and when their officer tried to force them back onto the streets again, they made their feelings known. One soldier, Sergei Kapichnikov, said, "Our fathers, mothers, sisters, brothers and brides are begging for bread. Are we going to kill them?" The officer had lost control. A mutiny had started. Now they knew there was no turning back.
The crucial moment was the point at which they went into a situation of mutiny, and the only way they could preserve themselves or save themselves after that was by the mutiny spreading.
The soldiers moved from barracks to barracks looking for support, and soon other mutineers were on the streets and joining with the workers. As the crisis deepens, the Emperor, Tsar Nicholas II, is stopped on his journey back from the German front. Revolutionaries have closed the line ahead, and he is trapped on the imperial train. The dictatorial ruler now sits powerless in a siding.
The pathetic figure which Nicholas cuts in those last few days, where he can't even command his railway train to get back to Petrograd.
Now it was the turn of the Tsar to listen to others, and as each message arrived, it became clear that he had only one course of action.
All but one of his front commanders sent him telegram saying, abdicate.
For 300 years, his family had ruled over the Russian Empire. The Tsar was staring at the end of the Romanov dynasty.